live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. In this bulletin, domestic calls to the Island Support Service Lifeline in Ashone have quadrupled after a serving member of the Defence Forces was given a suspended sentence for his attack on a young woman. There's been another major fish kill in Donegal. A teenager has suffered life-threatening injuries in a quad bike crash in County Derry, and five major fishing organisations have banded together in a bid to engage with the European Commission. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport. That's coming up around 5:15. First in news. Calls to the Domestic Violence Support Service Lifeline in Ashone have quadrupled after a serving member of the Defence Forces was given a suspended sentence for his attack on a young woman. Natasha O'Brien was beaten unconscious by Cathal Crawhey in May 2022. He received a suspended sentence for the attack, leading to a protest yesterday and prompting calls for tougher sentencing. Ellie Barg, of coordinator of Lifeline in Ashone, told today's 9 till noon show that the case has triggered women to reach out.
We've had referrals for people accessing support, for one-to-one support. We have trained confidential support workers, and plus I've had yesterday we've had referrals for a woman seeking counselling. It is very triggering. And then again, it highlights, you know, we're trying to say there is help out there.
Yeah.
Please reach out, because women have, you know, or women organisations, Women's Aid have spoke highly, you know, regarding this, and to speak out and try and reach out and just like that, a friendly voice, and
but
say,
Annie, the issue is wrong. What appears to be a very lenient sentence, what message does it send out? Obviously, people should come forward and get the supports, and then it's up to the individual if they wish to sort of pursue anything criminal. But when someone can get a suspended sentence for this level of violence, I wonder, does it send out the wrong message as to the society's attitude to violence, particularly against women in this case?
Yeah, it's as simple as that, Greg. What does this message send out to the woman of Ireland? It's disgusting. This is wrong. This is like a woman, somebody coming out of their work, and a member of the Defence Forces to beat a woman unconscious on the street, May 2022.
Well, the Justice Minister says she understands Natasha O'Brien's frustration after she spoke out against the Minister's performance. 24-year-old Natasha criticised Helen McEntee yesterday, saying she would not need to campaign so publicly if the Minister was doing her job correctly. Minister McEntee says violence against women remains an epidemic, and she's frustrated at the lack of progress to reduce it.
Whether it's new legislation, whether it's a new domestic violence agency, whether it's introducing a new strategy, which means education at the earliest stage possible, all of this, and yet we are still here. Yet we still have so much work to do. So I will do whatever I can. I will work with Natasha. I will work with other victims to make sure that whatever further changes we need to make, but we all have to make changes here.
There's been another major fish kill in Donegal. Loughs Agency has confirmed that a pollutive substance was discovered in the St Johnston Burn yesterday. Their investigation found that 7 kilometres of the watercourse had been affected, and around 400 fish carcasses have been collected to date, a figure which is expected to rise in the coming days. While the investigation is ongoing, fishery officers believe they've identified the source. A teenager has suffered life-threatening injuries in a quad bike crash in County Derry. The 14-year-old boy who was riding the quad bike was seriously injured in the crash shortly before 11:30 yesterday morning in the Ballygodden Road area of Eglinton. Police are appealing to anyone with information or who may have dashcam footage to contact them on the non-emergency number 101. Five major fishing organisations have banded together in a bid to engage with the European Commission. This includes the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation and the IFPO. The goal is to see a streamlined approach to fishing goals for Ireland achieved on a national and European level. Sinn Féin Marine spokesperson has now asked for dedicated roles to move the plan along. Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin addressed the Dáil this afternoon.
Minister, just to make you aware of a very positive recent development in the fishing and seafood industry. The producer organisations, Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation, the IFPO, Irish Fish Producers Organisation, the Irish South and West Producers Organisation, and the Irish South and East Producers Organisation have united together with the Irish Fish Producers and Exporters Association. So that's five major organisations have come together. They've united together with one purpose, that is to look at the whole project of engagement with the European Commission. They've asked that the Irish government would have a much more dedicated focus in terms of the Department of the Marine. It's clear, Minister, that we're facing a profound crisis across the entire fishing and seafood industry, and that has led to this initiative, this initiative of unity, sending a clear message to government to work in partnership with the industry. There's a real sense that the department and the minister, while meeting and engaging, do not have a clear plan, do not have a resourced plan. So we need dedicated officials based in Brussels, dedicated attaché, dedicated staff. We need to look at something like maybe a Fish Ireland office like you'd have for Falch Ireland to promote our industry, to promote our aims. So I'm asking, Minister, that you'd talk to your colleagues about that, that welcome development, and to embrace it and work in partnership with them.
Researchers at Atlantic Technological University Donegal have been awarded €1.4 million to lead a project on rural health inequalities with European partners in Finland, Norway and Sweden. It's part of the Tech to Heal project, which aims to empower rural workforces to be mindful of their health, address health disparities and improve patient outcomes. The funding has been awarded under the Interreg Northern Periphery and Arctic programme. Dr Nick Timmins, director of the Wiser Lab, says workers in these communities can be forced to leave the workforce earlier due to health conditions, and better access to health services could prevent this.
People in their older age and 50s and over who are increasing numbers, retiring early or having long periods of absenteeism from work due to ill health, whether that be physical or mental, and it's grown quite sharply in the last few years since COVID. So this project really brings a consortium of five partners from Ireland, ourselves, Finland, Norway and Sweden. And we're coming together to really see how digital technology, connected health tools can empower and help and alleviate the situation, really by empowering workers to look after their own health or be aware of their own health through information they might receive from digital and wearable health equipment. But also we're looking to address some of the occupational health policies around the countries. You know, one of the problems here is the rural nature of the places that we live, and a lot of workers are working their own, self-employed. But even in cases where, like, for example, we'll be focusing on nurses, and because we have a big nursing program in ATU, and even though they're not particularly in a rural situation, they are under stress, they're overworked, they have poor health outcomes, really. And so there's all sorts of different classes of people. Now, we'll be also looking at farmers and fishermen and even reindeer herders up in the far north of Sweden and Finland and Norway.
It's also been outlined that should the health disparity gap lessen, it will benefit all, as it will reduce staff shortages, increase the level of income tax being paid, and decrease the number of people relying on sick pay benefits. Pilots Union IALPA and Aer Lingus will meet tomorrow to try and resolve the dispute over pay. It's after the airline invited the union to talks. The industrial action is continuing in the meantime, with a work to rule underway. No major delays have been reported at Dublin Airport this afternoon as a result of the indefinite action. Earlier, Public Expenditure Minister Pascal O'Donoghue urged both sides to resolve the dispute.
The cancelled flights that are due to happen this weekend are going to do untold damage to Ireland's reputation as a country that is easy to come to. It's going to do great harm to tourism. It's going to do great harm to those who are travelling with business. We will have Irish people that are working abroad that will find it difficult to get back home. And of course, we're coming into the peak holiday season.
Two Donegal regeneration projects are to share €1.8 million in funding announced today under the Rural Regeneration and Development Fund. The Burton Port regeneration project is to receive an additional €1.3 million, while the remainder has been allocated to the Remelton regeneration project. Minister Charlie McConnell says the money will assist in completing both projects and helping with cost increases.
We're delighted today to receive confirmation from Minister Heather Humphreys that extra funding has been awarded to complete two really important rural regeneration projects in Donegal, one in Burton Port and also one in Remelton. We've received an extra €1.3 million, which Donegal County Council will now be able to use to complete the significant regeneration project works at the Alta Corran Pier in Burton Port. And also we received an extra €500,000, bringing the total government contribution now to €6.8 million, for a significant regeneration project in Remelton. Now we'll see, for example, restoration and extension of the house in the Bray in Remelton, and also a new multi-purpose civic space being developed at Gamble Square, and the reinstatement of the Market Cross as a civic meeting space as well in Remelton. So these are two really important projects. Costs had increased, so Donegal County Council had applied for extra funding, and I'm delighted to say that Minister Humphreys has now confirmed to me that she is, and her department are awarding this extra funding, which means Donegal can ensure these two projects that are so crucial to Remelton and Burton Port can be fully delivered.
The schemes like the Rural Regeneration Scheme are key to counties like Donegal, where most of the county is rural, and it will just see a lot more infrastructure put in place to benefit communities.
It's a massive scheme generally in terms of its impact in rural towns and rural villages. And it was a real gap in the public funding system, that where you had towns and villages that become run down in certain parts or where they needed regeneration, that there wasn't really a scheme designed to bring them back into the full potential that they could be and that they formerly had been.
The time's now approaching 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and we'll be back with sport. It's 5:15. Here's Mark Gallagher with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and today's action at Euro 2024 is underway, with the final round of matches in Group E now up and running. Romania are up against Slovakia in Frankfurt, while Belgium face Ukraine in Stuttgart. Both matches kicked off at 5 o'clock, with all four teams on 3 points heading into the final round. Later from 8, Group F draws to a close as Portugal, who have already won the group, meet Georgia in Gelsenkirchen. The other game sees Turkey take on Czech Republic in Hamburg. That's also at 8. Phil Foden has left the England squad to return home for what is being described as a pressing family matter. The Manchester City attacker started last night's 0-0 draw with Slovenia. Foden is expected to return in time for their last 16 outing on Sunday. The Manchester United women's team will have to make do with portable facilities at the club's Carrington training complex this upcoming season. It is to allow the men's team to use the women's building at the complex, while the men's facilities undergo a €60 million revamp. The building work is expected to last the full season. August's Community Shield has been confirmed for Saturday the 10th at Wembley, with a 3 o'clock kickoff. Premier League champions Manchester City will take on FA Cup winners Manchester United in what's regarded as the traditional curtain raiser to England's top flight season. Moving on to rugby, and Ireland centre Gary Ringrose is hoping a decent record against South Africa can propel Andy Farrell's side to victory in the upcoming tour. Ireland face two tests against the Springboks, having won the last three encounters, including a victory in the pool stage of the last World Cup. Ringrose knows it will be a serious test against the world champions.
Yeah, I mean, the two games I've been involved in have like been so tight, and the results have fallen on like the most minute moments. So unbelievably special days to be a part of. But like, it doesn't change how much respect and how motivated we'd be to prepare to try and do that again. And those results certainly don't count for much.
The first of those two summer tour fixtures against South Africa will take place in Pretoria on Saturday the 6th of July, with the second taking place a week later in Durban. On to boxing, it's been confirmed Anthony Joshua will face Daniel Dubois for the IBF World Heavyweight Boxing title at Wembley Stadium on September the 21st. Undisputed world champion Alexander Usyk has vacated the belt, calling it his present to the two fighters. Dubois is the mandatory challenger for it. In darts, Gerwyn Price has been ruled out of Wales's World Cup of Darts defence this weekend. He was due to partner Johnny Clayton at the event in Germany, but has withdrawn due to health issues. And finally, finishing with horse racing, legendary US jockey John Velazquez will have his first ever ride in Ireland this evening. He will be aboard De Janeiro in the 6:30 at Nace. Velazquez has won 6 US Classics and 20 Breeders' Cup races. That's all your sport for today. I'll be back with more tomorrow morning. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. A South Donegal deputy has moved a motion in the Dáil today calling for increased funding for primary schools. Deputy Marion Harkin, while addressing Education Minister Norma Foley, outlined how primary schools across the country are operating at a deficit. They're forced to fundraise to cover costs and are dealing with increased energy and insurance costs. The government didn't put forward any amendments to the motion. Deputy Harkin set out what she believes needs to be delivered to provide adequate support for schools.
What I'm asking for the government to do is to commit to aligning primary education funding with the OECD average, ensure the ancillary grant is sufficient to cover the cost of running a school, crucially to ensure that the 2024 SET allocation model reflects current needs and individual profiling, urgently reassesses the reinstatement of complex needs as a criterion, and immediately to put in place an extension to the POD to ensure real-time and accurate data regarding pupils with special needs. We also want to ensure that the educational component of the assessment of needs is completed by a qualified educational psychologist with assistance from schools. We're asking you to enforce the EPSON Act and to ensure that sufficient resources and supports to schools are available to integrate refugee and asylum-seeking children. We're asking you to bring forward a better plan to support schools, schools' principals, to increase the administrative time for teaching principals, and reinstate the number of assistant principals back to pre-austerity levels.
Searches are continuing for a man missing from Oma. Police say they're concerned for the welfare of Aaron Deasley. He was last seen by his family on Friday, and it's understood Aaron may have travelled to Derry. Anyone with information in relation to his whereabouts is asked to contact police on 101. A picture of Aaron is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Defective concrete block homeowners who've already commenced remediation works can now apply for SEA grant funding. In an update, the SEAI have confirmed that an exemption will be granted to homeowners who've already appointed a contractor for rebuild or remediation works, who've commenced works on site, or who have already completed the rebuild or remediation works. Homeowners can apply directly to the SEAI for funding. Councillor Martin McDermott, chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Concrete Block Grant Scheme Committee, says it's a positive step in making up for the financial shortfall for homeowners.
I think it's an important step by SEAI, something that we've been looking for quite a while, something that has been as part of the transition from the old scheme to the new scheme, that the government and the department give a commitment that people that were remediating their houses would be able to get a grant through SEAI to upgrade their house to the day standards. That is now being finalised, and that now allows anyone that is upgrading their house to apply to SEA for an upgrade grant. That upgrade grant could be anything between 25 and 37,000 on top of their grant to bring their house to the day standards. But the most important thing, I suppose, with Michaela in it, is that, you know, people that have already started building their house or have remediated their houses don't need a BE or CERT now, a pre-BE or CERT, to get that grant, so they can actually apply now and get that money that they've spent on upgrading their house to the day standards. And it also is open now to your own engineer or architect or whoever is looking after the work for your own professional can now apply as well to do those grants for you while you're doing your remediation of your house. So it has worked out to be very, very good and very open scheme now for people that are remediating their houses. So hopefully this will be step in the right direction to bring some extra money into people's pockets to fill that gap, particularly from bigger houses. that people are finding themselves from the cap to what the actual cost of rebuild is.
There's been a 35% increase in drug driving in the Northwest. According to CSO figures released today, 163 offences of driving under the influence of drugs were recorded in the region for the first quarter of the year. That's up from 120 during the same time period in 2023. Meanwhile, drink driving has dropped 3%. Also on the rise is the number of theft offences, which is up 13%. Offences of fraud have increased 12%, and there's been a 7% rise in drug offences in the Northwest. A man has been arrested in Dungiven in connection with a PSNI data breach last year. The 50-year-old man was arrested earlier today as part of an investigation into criminality linked with the Freedom of Information data breach on the 8th of August last year. There's been an arrest under the Terrorism Act and he's been taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite for questioning. Detective Superintendent Aveen Kelly says they continue to work towards establishing those who possess information relating to the data breach and will take action to ensure that any criminality identified is dealt with robustly to keep communities, officers and staff safe. Three men have been arrested in relation to a robbery in Derry last year. The men aged 29, 56 and 59 have since been released on bail to allow for further investigations on the incident which involved a delivery van. It happened on the Lecky Road area at around 10:30 in the morning on Wednesday, the 1st of November. PSNI are again appealing for information that may further inquiries. Looking now to weather, showery rain will clear eastwards through this evening with brighter and fresher conditions following. Moderate southwesterly winds will increase fresh and gusty along the western coast and it will be dry for a time early tonight with clear spells to build but getting cloudier overnight as another band of showery rain spreads from the west. To conclude this evening's news, there's been another major fish kill in Donegal. A teenager has suffered life-threatening injuries in a quad bike crash in County Derry. Five major fishing organisations have banded together in a bid to engage with the European Commission. And researchers at Atlantic Technological University Donegal have been awarded €1.4 million to lead a project on rural health inequalities with European partners in Finland, Norway and Sweden. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. Back with more at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, June 26th. The death has occurred of Colin McGee, 28 Burwood, Buncrana, and formerly of Slavery, Buncrana and Kent, England. Colin's remains will be reposing at his home this evening from 7 o'clock. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Eileen Gallagher, née Kennedy, Drumline Lifford and formerly of 5 Albert Terrace, Main Street, Lifford, reposing at her home tomorrow from 12 noon. Funeral leaving her home on Friday afternoon at 1:20 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the day of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Sadie Gillen, née Doherty, Breda Glen, Moville. Sadie's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there at 10:30 on Friday morning for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St. Columbus Church, Balnacrae, Moville, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary both nights at 9 p.m. with family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Cyril Coyle, Drum Naho, Letterkenny. Cyril will be reposing at Archview Lodge Nursing Home this evening from 6 o'clock until 8 p.m. Funeral from there at 10:15 tomorrow morning, going to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. The death has occurred of Joyce McCaughey, ní Leaper, Ballymore, Port na Bla, Donegal. Joyce will be waked at the family home at Ballymore tomorrow from 12 p.m. until 8 p.m. House strictly private before and after. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Hospice. Cremation to take place on Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. at Antrim and Newton Abbey Crematorium. The death has occurred of Sandra Sheridan, 66 St Joseph's Terrace, Chapel Road, Rathmullen. Remains are en route to St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by interment at the adjacent cemetery. The Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Charlie McGillian, 58 Bridge Street, Strabane. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.